Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse 1, and we're going to go down to verse 10. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletins, and you will see the passage of Scripture that we're going to be discussing this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In this passage before us today, we see the Apostle Paul address the often used false teaching that states we can earn our salvation. That we can earn our salvation. You know, many false teachers and many false religions have been started on the premise that you can earn your salvation. As a matter of fact, Christianity is the only religion that says you don't earn your salvation. You are given salvation by grace. And during a British conference on comparative religions, experts from around the world debated what, if any, belief was unique to the Christian faith. They began eliminating possibilities. Incarnation. Other religions had different versions of God's appearing in human form. Resurrection. Again, other religions had accounts of return from the dead. The debate went on until sometime when C.S. Lewis wandered in the room. "What's the rumpus about?" he asked, and he heard in reply that his colleagues were discussing Christianity's unique contribution among world religions. Lewis responded, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace." After some discussion, the conferees had to agree. You see, grace is what separates Christianity from all other religions. By grace we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because of what we have done. We cannot earn salvation. The fact that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone is a fundamental doctrine of Christianity. This teaching is not only separates us from other religions, but it also separates us from any form of Christianity that teaches something contrary to this basic biblical fact. Now understand, this is a fundamental doctrine of Christianity, that we are saved by God's grace and His grace alone for the salvation of our soul. Any religion, whether they go under the umbrella of Christianity or some other religion, that takes away from this doctrine should be considered heresy. Now, I know that seems to be a strong statement, and it seems to be overly divisive, but there is great danger even in slightly changing this basic fundamental Christian doctrine, this fundamental fact of the gospel. Understand, this is a fundamental fact of the gospel. If all glory is to go to Jesus Christ for our salvation, as we learned in chapter 1, then He must have been the one that has done everything for our salvation. Understand that. He's the one that gets full credit for our salvation because He has done everything for it. We don't do anything to earn our salvation. We don't do anything to deserve salvation. This is why the Apostle Paul goes to great lengths to show us why God deserves all the credit for our salvation. So let's take a look at this passage and see why God deserves full credit for our salvation. Now look at verse 1 again. It says, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now skip down to verse 4. I want you to understand something about this passage of Scripture. It kind of gives us a before and after effect, okay? It describes how we were before we accepted God's free gift of salvation and how we are after we accept God's free gift of salvation. So we're going to be going from the verses in the front of this passage to verses like in the middle and in the back of the passage to get a full view of what has happened before and after, okay, in our lives as Christians. So let's look at verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Now, first of all, God deserves full credit for our salvation because He has changed our demarcation. Now, I don't usually alliterate. Christy hates when I alliterate in my sermons. But this one just happened to work out. I've got 5 D's, okay, for this sermon. The first one is demarcation. He changed our demarcation. Now, what does that mean? It means that we were separated out. Demarcation means to be separated out. We were separated out for something, and now we're separated out for something else. You see, we were marked for the scrap heap of death and hell. But because of His love and mercy, God has marked us for restoration to life in heaven. Have you ever watched those shows like Grease Monkey, where they take these old cars that are just totally destroyed and just totally messed up, and they take these old cars and they restore them? And they do this awesome job of restoring them. They look brand new when they're done, and they're fully functional afterwards. I mean, some of them are nothing more than a rusted shell when they get them. And they roll them into the shop, and then, you know, they work on them for a while. And then like 2 or 3 weeks later, they roll them out of the shop, and they look brand new. Well, we are God's restoration project. We are God's restoration project. We were marked for the scrap heap of hell and death. But God said, "No, I'm going to change your demarcation. Now I'm going to separate you out for life and heaven. I'm going to separate you out. I'm going to restore you." And this was God's work. This is something that God does. No one else can do this. Notice we were made alive with Christ. Notice we were made alive with Christ. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are separated and made for life. Separated out for life. And we are made alive. Why? Because it is only through Jesus Christ that anyone can be made alive. It is only through Jesus Christ that anyone can be made alive. You see, Jesus Christ was the one who showed us that death could be conquered when He rose from the dead. You see, He died on the cross and was buried And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He showed us that he could make us alive because he was made alive. This is what we need to put our trust in. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. Not anything that we do. I've talked to so many people who call themselves Christians and say, well, if I'm good enough, I think I'll go to heaven. No, that is not true. You'll never be good enough to go to heaven. It's only in Christ Jesus and Him making you alive that you get to go to heaven. Understand that. We don't have anything to put our trust in other than Jesus Christ, because He is the only one that can make us alive. Let's give full credit to the Lord for our salvation, because He changed our demarcation from death to life. Now, look at verse 2. It says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Look at verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, God deserves full credit for our salvation because He has changed our design. He has changed our design. Now, before we accepted Christ as our Savior, we walked according to the course of this world. That's what we're told. Now, what does that mean? In other words, we let the world and its system govern our thoughts and our behavior. We let this world govern our thoughts and our behavior. Now, the world sees no wrong in abortion, in fornication, in partying that leads to drunkenness, in idolatry of sports and its figures, just to name a few system problems in this world. You see, there are problems with this world system, but before we accepted Christ as our Savior, we just followed the world system. However, our salvation involves God giving us a system redesign. A system redesign. God has made us to sit together in the heavenly places. We went from, this is in the present tense, by the way. We now sit in the heavenly places. That's what it says. What does that mean? Well, it means that our perspective comes from heaven, a heavenly perspective, instead of a worldly perspective. Okay? If all you have to live for is what this world has to offer, then yeah, go ahead and do whatever you want with your life. But if your view has a heavenly perspective and you want to do what should be done and what is being done in heaven in your life, and you have this heavenly perspective that you've got something better to look forward to than just what this world has to offer, then you live not according to the course of this world, but according to heaven, heavenly perspective. That's what we have in Christ. We have a heavenly perspective. So our walk or lifestyle is according to our heavenly perspective in Christ. So our system has gone from a worldly one to a heavenly one. Once again, this could only be done in Christ. Notice it says in Christ. So let's praise Him for redesigning our operating system. For redesigning our operating system. Now, another thing that happens in this redesign of our operating system is that God gives us a new director. God gives us a new director. And I want us to see that. Look at verse 2 again, in the second half of verse 2. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now look down in verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God deserves full credit for our salvation because he has changed our director. He has changed our director. Instead of walking according to the prince of the power of the air, which is a reference to Satan, we do good works in Christ Jesus. We do good works in Christ Jesus. Now, we went from being sons of disobedience to someone that does good works, God's workmanship for good works. So we went from sons of disobedience to God's workmanship for good works. Why? What caused that? Who caused that? God changed our director from Satan to Jesus. That's how it happened. God changed our director from Satan to Jesus. Before you accept Christ as your Savior, you're getting direction from evil forces. One of those evil forces is Satan and his demons. But when you accept Christ as your Savior, there's a different director in your life. His name is Jesus Christ, and he, through his Holy Spirit, directs your life in a different direction than Satan would direct it. But that all comes because God has changed our director. God completely changed our operating system by changing our director and our design. By changing our director and our design. Now, in the computer world, a lot of you that work with computers, you know that there's different operating systems for computers. There's different operating systems. Well, we went from Windows World / Satan to Mac Heaven / Jesus. Okay? If that makes sense to you in the PC Mac world, okay? Many of you who love Macs will appreciate that. But there's different operating systems, okay? So he changed our operating system. The way we are designed and the way we are directed is different because God saved our souls. That salvation process, this is all wrapped up in our salvation. Why do Christians have a different perspective and walk in a different way after they accept Christ as their Savior? Because God redesigns them. He redesigns their operating system. He redesigns where they get their orders from. And so we see that God deserves full credit for this because he has changed our director and our design. Not only that, God deserves full credit for our salvation because he has changed our desire. God has changed our desire. Now, look at verse 3 again. Let's look at verse 3. It says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh. Now look down at verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, before we trusted Christ as our Savior, we lived according to our own fleshly desires and goals. We lived according to our own fleshly desires and goals. Sometimes when I witness to someone, their view of righteousness is just do what you want to do, only don't hurt others. So that's their view of righteousness. Do what you want to do, just don't hurt others. You have probably heard a term like be true to yourself, right? Trust in yourself. We've all heard those terms. Well, all those terms come from a worldly philosophy that says, if I follow my own desires and my own goals, I'll be okay. Well, that's not what salvation is all about. salvation is God actually changing those desires to not what I want, but what Jesus wants. Not what I want to do with my life, not my goals, but what Jesus wants to do. We lived for ourselves and followed our own understanding. But God changed our desire from living for self to living for Christ when we accepted His gift of salvation. Now that is what faith is. Understand, salvation is simply, faith is simply accepting this free gift that God has provided for us. It's accepting this free gift. Dr. Piccirilli said this, holding up, this is what he said about faith. It's holding up empty hands to God to receive a gift offered entirely by grace. It's holding up empty hands to God to receive a gift offered entirely by grace. That is what faith is. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit persuades and enables us to accept this gift of grace. But that does not mean we don't willingly choose this gift. Now understand, we are not forced to accept this gift. God's not going to force you to accept this gift. It is a free gift. And God does enable us and persuade us to accept this gift. But we're not forced to it. Now, there was a rescue effort made during the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Some at-risk people would rather stay put than be led to safety. That's what helicopter pilot Lane McConnell and the rest of his air station crew discovered in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. McDonnell and his crew were told to keep 5 H-60 helicopters airborne on missions around the clock to airlift stranded people from their rooftops and deliver them to the Superdome in New Orleans. But they were only able to help a relatively few survivors. On the first three missions, we saved the lives of 89 people, three dogs, and a cat. Now, McConnell said, on the fourth mission, to our great frustration, we saved no one, but not for lack of trying. The dozens we attempted to rescue refused to be picked up. Some people told us simply to bring them food and water. You are living in unhealthy conditions, and the water will stay high for a long time, we warned them. They still refused. You see, God enables us of the dangers that we're in. He persuades us that we are in danger and that we need His free gift of salvation. But He's not going to force us into the helicopter. We've got to accept that free gift. We have to accept it. I was watching a game warden show where they track these game wardens, and they show, these game wardens checking people out for their fishing licenses and hunting licenses and all that, make sure they're not poaching and things like that. And the game wardens drove up in a boat to this one kid who was fishing. And they said, we like to be lenient on the kids, so we'll probably just give this guy a warning if he don't have his license. So they asked the kid a couple questions. One of them was, how old are you? And the kid said, I'm 15. Now, if you're 15 or below, you don't need a fishing license. And then they asked him, well, what year were you born? And he said, 94. Now, this was in 2011. And so the game warden did some quick math and realized this kid's 17 years old. Okay? But anyways, so they gave him several chances. They said, look, how old are you? If you're born in 94, then you're 17. He said, no, I'm 15. Well, then what year were you born? 94. 94. Can't you understand that? And the kid was being belligerent. So anyways, the kid finally says, hey, hands the game warden his phone and says, call my mom. She'll tell you. The game warden said, I will. Call the mother up, right? Mom gets on the phone, says, hey, I got your son here. I'm just wondering, how old is your son? And the mom said, he's 17. Oh, okay. So the game warden says, well, your mom ratted you out. I know you're 17. And the kid was just still belligerent. He said, now look, you know you're supposed to have a license, right? He's like, whatever, whatever. Kid showed no repentance, no willingness to, they were trying their best to bestow mercy on this kid. They wanted to be lenient. They were doing everything they could to bestow mercy on him, so all they'd have to do is give him a warning. But he wouldn't accept it. He wanted to just have his own way. And so because of that, they said, hey, we're going to have to issue this kid a citation. As much as we don't want to issue him a citation, he refuses our mercy. He refuses our mercy. So they gave the kid a citation, and the kid put it in his pocket very belligerently and walked away. They said, that kid is in for a rough life. You know what? God's offering us a free gift of salvation. By his mercy, he's pushing his mercy upon us and trying to get us to accept his mercy. But he's not going to force us to take it. We need to say, yes, I want your mercy, God. I want that free gift of salvation. I realize that you have done everything that it takes for me to have eternal life through your son's death, burial, and resurrection. Please give me that salvation. Come into my life. Redirect my desires. Redesign my life. Redesign my perspective. Because true faith is demonstrated by a walk that lines up with our desire to follow Christ. Now understand that. Faith involves a simple acceptance of that free gift of salvation. But what happens in that faith process at that point is that God changes your desires. And whatever the desires of your heart are, they are manifest in your life. Your actions will be manifested by your desires. Well, this is how we know we have accepted this gift. Our desires change. Our desires change. Martin Luther said, we are not saved by works, but if there are no works, there must be something amiss with faith. Understand that. We are not saved by works, but we are created for good works, right? This whole salvation process is so that we will do good. So if good is not coming from our lives and God's purpose is not being fulfilled in our lives, then we should question our faith, whether we have genuine faith in the Lord, because genuine faith will produce good works. So let's praise God for changing our desires so we can have a wonderful salvation. Now finally, look at verse 3 and the second half of it. It says, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Now look at verse 7. It says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God deserves full credit for our salvation because he has changed our destiny. God has changed our destiny. We are told that we were once children of wrath, but now we are designated for kindness. God changed our destiny from one of facing His wrath to one of facing His kindness. Boy, I'm sure glad of that. I am sure glad that I'm not going to face God's wrath. I'm glad that I'm going to face His kindness. That is what I'm looking forward to. Facing the kindness of God. That is what all those who have accepted this free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ have. That's their destiny. They are going to face the kindness of God for all eternity. I like that idea. I like the idea of facing God's kindness for all eternity. I don't like the idea of facing His wrath. But if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is your destiny. Your destiny will be facing God's wrath. Please do not make that your destiny. God has done everything necessary for you to face His kindness. He's done everything necessary for you to avoid facing His wrath. All you have to do is accept that work in your life. All you have to do is accept that God has done everything for your eternal salvation. And He will give you that eternal salvation. He will start working in your life, and you will start doing His will in your life and fulfilling His purpose in your life, and you will have nothing but joy in your heart as you realize you're facing His kindness. You're going to face His kindness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for how You love us. I thank You for Your wonderful grace. The grace that provided an awesome salvation for our souls, even though we don't deserve it. Even though there's nothing we can do to earn it. You, and You alone, through Your Son Jesus Christ, have provided us with a wonderful salvation. Lord, I pray that we remember that our salvation is not earned, that we are not trying to earn our way into heaven, but that You have already done everything that it took for us to face Your eternal kindness. Now, with your hands bowed and eyes closed, I want to say this. You may say, I messed up so badly in my life, or even you've messed up in one particular area of your life, that you think that God is not going to use you for good anymore. You know, that's a lie from the devil. He's often used that on me. But let me tell you this. God's grace is not based on you. It is based on His love and mercy toward you. Remember that. It's based on His mercy and love toward you. He will fulfill His purpose in our lives of good, because He loves us. And He's pushing His mercy towards us. Parents, your kids living for God happens as a result of God's grace working in them. Pray that God's grace will be working in them. You can do all the right things and say all the right things, but they need God's grace working in their lives. So pray for them that God's grace would be working. Don't do anything that would hinder God's grace working in your life. Thank God for working by His grace in your life and in your family. This should be a time where you praise God for His grace and how He's given you grace in your life and in your family.